Our first scripture reading for this second Sunday of Easter is found in your Bibles in the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, and we begin reading at verse 32. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the first epistle of John, the first verse to chapter 2, verse 2. You'll recognize many of these verses as they are found in Divine Service 1 in the Confession of Sin. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. Life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say we have not sinned. We make him a liar. His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. The Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, and in particular, the words of Jesus. "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." This is our text. If you have a cell phone, maybe not here in the service, and if you do, hopefully you got it sound turned off. But if you have a cell phone, I'd like you to raise your hands. You know, those things didn't exist 30 years ago. Now, if you understand all the engineering that makes them work, raise your hands. Did I see your hand go up? In case you're watching live, there are no hands that are currently up within the congregation. I suspect the same is true at home. You don't understand how it works, but you know it works, and so you pretty much all have one. You know, there's a lot of things in life where people have no problem using something they don't understand how it works, but use it anyway, because they know it works. In fact, there's only one area in life that I think people resist, sometimes vehemently, using something that works, though they don't understand necessarily how it can. And that's when it comes to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and in his resurrection. Thomas hadn't seen Jesus, and he didn't know really how he could be raised from the dead, but you know it was working. Imagine walking into that room after Jesus had been there with the disciples. What do you think the mood was? Scripture doesn't specifically state, but I'm quite confident. It was overjoyed amazement. Whereas if you'd been in the room, I would guess, a few hours before, it would have been overwhelming sadness and depression. Christ changed all that. Does it really matter if you understood how it could be? But even though Thomas could see what no doubt was a miraculous change in the hearts and in the faces of people that he had been with for at least 3 years, what were his words? But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." If you will, Thomas only had circumstantial evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. But even in our courtroom system, circumstantial evidence is enough to prove a case. And in the case of Christianity, where it is truly practiced, where it's not just a simple memorization of Christian doctrines, but faith and trust in the work of God, it really does work. But we have not ourselves seen God, while we ourselves are not witnesses to the resurrection, and see what it does in the lives and the hearts of people. And even if we haven't seen our Lord himself risen from the dead, blessed are we when not seeing, we yet believe, because we know that it works. When you wake up in the morning, there's all kinds of problems and troubles that are facing you, be it at work, in your family, wherever. But you're not worried, specifically because you believe the promises that God has made to you in Scripture. If you can do that, and granted, we don't all do it every day, but if more often than not you can do that, you are so far ahead of the rest of the world. Worry, doubt, fears of life abound, and they drive people crazy. But I believe one of the reasons you're here today is because you know how God's promises work in your life. A number of years ago, I had a funeral here for a child. Tragic, accidental, and very sudden death. Naturally, the parents and other family members were grieved. But I remember well going out into the narthex just before services were about to begin, and I saw one individual grieving almost uncontrollably. Grief more than anybody else in the large group of people, mostly Christians, mostly members of this congregation, that were gathered. I presumed that the individual had an extremely close relation with the individual who died. Though he had some relationship, that was not the case. I presumed maybe he had gone to school with her. Maybe he had gone to church with her at some point in time. Boy, I mentioned the idea of church. He looked at me and he said, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe there is a God. I have been, along with many other pastors, at the bedside of so many Christians who have departed this life. And though it is a time of grief and sorrow, there's also joys and hope. When people meet death without any of that, it doesn't work. When we can meet death, be it the death of someone young or someone old, with the joy of the hope of resurrection, boy, does it make a difference. It works. As I mentioned in my sermon last week, when God created us in his own image, part of that image is that there is a thing called justice. By nature, because of the way we are created, when we see injustice in the world, it gets us angry, especially when that injustice is directed against us. But those who know Christ, who know that justice and vengeance are in God's hands, not ours, find a way to forgive. Even when someone's not done anything to deserve or earn forgiveness. Why? Well, because we know that we have done nothing to merit or deserve forgiveness as well, and yet our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. But not just for ours, for the sins of the whole world. Vengeance, justice, hatred against people that wronged us abounds in our world. Christians find a way to overcome it because our faith and our hope and our trust in God. The Christian faith works, changes lives. And you can see it in all kinds of other ways. I've mentioned this many times before, but a big national study on eighth graders who often are in a very traumatic period of life. You know, I remember my eighth grade years. There's a lot of years of my life I'd like to repeat. Eighth grade, not one of them. But one thing stands out as what parents can do for their eighth grade children to build in them a good sense of self-esteem, although we might use another term for it. The biggest factor in self-esteem for eighth grade children in the United States is whether or not they're in church every week. It's a fact, undeniable. Christianity works. People who go to church regularly live longer. I can go on and on and on. Have you seen Jesus Christ resurrected himself?
Yeah.
No. But if you look at the circumstantial evidence of what changes lives, what heals broken people, what brings hope to the hopeless, and what changes stony hearts full of anger, enmity, hatred, and vengeance. The hearts of love. It is the proclamation of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to forgive our sins, rose again to bring us an everlasting and eternal hope. No, we may not have seen him, but we can see what faith in him does. Blessed are we. We haven't seen and yet believe. Thomas had not seen. But thanks be to God for this man who couldn't believe when all the evidence pointed elsewhere. God in his love for him came to him and did reveal to him the resurrected Christ. As he did later also for the Apostle Paul. Perhaps has done to others throughout the ages. Because God's love knows no bounds. Where hearts can be changed, God provides the tools to change them. Thanks be to God that we have come to know him, though as of yet we have not seen him. But to those who deny it, to those who will not believe it, to those who might say, show me the evidence, let us not act as if there isn't really any. The evidence abounds in the teachings of Scripture and how they change hearts and lives. Though we may not be able to point out to others the image of the resurrected Lord, let us each and every day point out to others the evidence of what his resurrection can do in the lives of people. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.